Amen. Our Old Testament reading is Judges chapter 13, as we continue in our Sunday evening series in Judges, and where we find these Holy Spirit-inspired words of life and salvation, words ultimately pointing to the Savior of Israel and the world, all who will trust in Him, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Judges chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore be careful and drink no wine or strong drink and eat nothing unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines." Then the woman came and told her husband, "A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of God, very awesome. I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name, but he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. So then drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come again to us and teach us what we are to do with the child who will be born.' And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So the woman ran quickly and told her husband, 'Behold, the man who came to me the other day has appeared to me.' And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said to him, 'Are you the man who spoke to this woman?' And he said, 'I am.' And Manoah said, 'Now when your words come true, what is to be the child's manner of life, and what is his mission?' And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat of anything that comes from the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink or eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe.' Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'Please let us detain you and prepare a young goat for you.' And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'If you detain me, I will not eat of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord.' For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, so that when your words come true, we may honor you?' And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?' So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it on the rock to the Lord, to the one who works wonders. And Manoah and his wife were watching. And when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, and the angel of the Lord went up in the flame of the altar. Now Manoah and his wife were watching, and they fell on their faces to the ground. The angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, 'We shall surely die, for we have seen God.' But his wife said to him, 'If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering at our hands, or shown us all these things, or now announced to us such things as these.' And the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the young man grew and was And the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Mahanadan between Zorah and Eshtaol. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Spirit of the living God, selfsame Spirit who began to stir up Samson to do your will, Spirit by whom our Lord was conceived in the womb of his virgin mother, Spirit who anointed Jesus to do the Father's will, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Assure us of our Father's unrelenting love. Grant us to hear our Savior's voice and to trust him and follow him as our Savior and our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enter Samson, Israel's 12th and final judge, who lived about 50 years before King Saul was set apart as king of Israel. Samson was one of the handful of judges, along with Deborah and Gideon and Jephthah, to whom the writer of this book devoted an extended account. Others are mentioned with little detail. These are given an extended account. And as was the case with those accounts, the life and tenure of Samson, who judged Israel for 20 years, proved to be eventful, to say the least. We might even use the word dramatic. This evening we consider in the first place the Savior of Israel named Samson, and then the one to whom he pointed, a Savior named Jesus. First, the Savior of Israel named Samson. The account of Samson's life opened much the way previous accounts of judges had been opened. Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hand of an enemy. In this case, into the hand of the Philistines, whom they served for 40 years. The message that God was sending his people was clear, and the repetition was meant to aid their learning. Children, have your parents ever repeated anything with you? Have you noticed that? It's meant to aid your learning, right? If you don't get it the first time, we're going to maybe repeat it again, and then again, and then again. God loves his children. And so you see that kind of dynamic going on here in the history of ancient Israel. He had delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh to serve the Lord. That is, to worship the Lord. Remember, let my people go that they may worship me, God said through Moses to Pharaoh. And God did emancipate his people from bondage in Egypt, but they failed to do what he had emancipated them to do in the wilderness, which was to worship him, serve him, you know, without murmuring and complaining and doubting and being pessimistic pilgrims, which, as we've said, is an oxymoron. They didn't follow him faithfully as he had emancipated them to do. They had forgotten the truth, as the Book of Common Prayer puts it, that the Lord's service is perfect freedom. And so God disciplined them. Many of them died in the wilderness, not able to enter into the promised land. But then after that, the next generation did enter the promised land, where they were to serve him as a free people, a people free from idols. They might know and serve and worship God alone. Yet they continually fell into idolatry. Thus, in order to make them feel the bondage of serving false gods, the Lord would have them fall under the oppressive hand of the nations who worshiped those gods. Eventually, God's people would cry out, "Mercy! Mercy! Set us free! We've learned our lesson. We will return to you." They would cry out for deliverance. And God, being rich in mercy, abounding in steadfast love, would hear and raise up a Savior. A Deborah, a Gideon, Jephthah, or Samson to deliver his people from bondage. In this case, God sent the angel of the Lord to an Israelite woman who was barren, who was childless, to announce that she would bear Israel's next Savior. He would be a Nazarite, meaning he would be set apart to God's service in a special way, in tangible ways, ritualistic ways. He was to abstain from wine and strong drink, anything that came from the vine. If you look back at the prohibitions for Nazarites, it wasn't just wine or strong drink, it was anything that came from the vine. Grapes, even raisins, no raisins. It goes on to say, not even seeds, okay, or the skin of a grape. So nothing that came from the grapevine, not even grape nuts. No, those don't actually come from grapevines either. But nothing that came from the grapevine. They weren't to have anything to do with it. Moreover, one who took a Nazarite vow was not to cut his hair. The locks of his head were to grow long. And he was to have no contact with the dead whatsoever. He was never to go near a dead body of any sort, not even his parents or his relatives, should they die. Now, there were various ceremonies that could be performed to reinstate a Nazarite as such, if he broke those standards. But those were the standards for the Nazarites. And of course, those are going to play out, aren't they, in the life of Samson. Now, typically, an Israelite was volunteered, or they volunteered themselves to be Nazarites if they were so led. But Samson was voluntold. Right? Have you ever been voluntold for something? Samson was voluntold. The angel of the Lord told his parents that Samson was going to be a Nazarite. And then his parents told Samson what the angel of the Lord had told them. The angel of the Lord first told his mother. It's very interesting. We're going to see some parallels, right? You picked up on it. I'm going to state the obvious later, but you know how to look for Jesus, don't you, in the Bible. To the mother, it was revealed that she was going to bear a son. And then the father, about the gift and calling of this son. Notice that Manoah was a man of prayer. He's a man of God. He's a man of prayer. Not everyone in Israel had completely turned away from the Lord. He's a man of prayer. Imperfect man, we will see that. But a man of prayer. There's only been one perfect man of prayer. But this man, this imperfect man, was a man of prayer. So he asked the Lord for fuller revelation, and the Lord graciously gave it to him. And I love Manoah's question to the angel of the Lord in verse 12. Now, when your words come true, now, what does that indicate about Manoah? Faith. That's right. When your words come true, not if, but when your words come true, what is to be the child's manner of life? And what is his mission? We don't know how old Manoah and his wife were, but they evidently were up there. They had been childless for some time, but now a promise is given and he believes the promise. But he asks, what shall be his mission? And the angel of the Lord's answer reiterated that Samson would be set apart in a special way, in order that, as he had said in verse 5, he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. That was his mission, to save, or it could be translated deliver, or rescue, or give victory on behalf of. So this is a victorious Savior. Give victory on behalf of Israel over Israel's enemies. But Manoah's inquiry about Samson's mission reminded me of three things that Truett Cathy used to pray for his children. Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A. Have you heard of it? You heard of it? Yeah, familiar. Truett Cathy used to pray three things for his children. He would pray for their master, for their mission, and their mate. Three things to pray for our children and grandchildren, the children of our church. Their master, ultimately by God's grace, the Lord himself. The Lord, that's the main one, that's the most important one. But they will know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Not just say to him, Lord, Lord, but they will have a real, vital relationship with Jesus Christ. That should be the preeminent prayer for our children, their master. Because if they don't, you know, as Bob Dylan famously said, you got to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. So who will their master be? By grace, Jesus. Their master, their mission, their vocation, their calling in life, specific calling. We all know what our overarching mission is. Calvin's catechism said to know God. It's to know God. The Westminster Catechism, of course, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But then we all have specific missions, vocations, callings. Now, I have a hunch that Truett Cathy might have been praying some specific things for his posterity regarding mission, because most of them are in the family business, right? And I have had the privilege of knowing a couple of them who are continuing it so well. But praying that the Lord, not what our vision for our child's mission would be, that's kind of hard to let the Lord decide that. But to pray that the Lord would show and determine the footsteps of our children relative to their mission, and then their mate, that they would marry in the Lord, that they would love someone who knows and loves Jesus too, if they're called to be married. Some of us aren't called to be married. Some of us are called to a life of singleness, and that the Lord would reveal that as well. Singleness for God's glory. But if they're called to be married, that the Lord would provide for them a mate who loves Jesus. Now, we're going to see all three of those play out in Samson's life, aren't we? Master, mission, mate. But here Manoah prayed, Lord, reveal his mission that we might be faithful in it, that we might assist him in it, that we might do our part to help him in it. And at this point, Manoah and his wife were also focused on this, not only this good news that they were going to have the son, but the awesome nature of the one who revealed this good news to them. What's your name? Well, wonderful. Does that sound familiar? From Isaiah chapter 9, he shall be called Wonderful. So this was, of course, the pre-incarnate Christ, as we say. The Lord God himself who brought them this message. They didn't understand it fully at first. They wanted to feed him a feast or honor him in some way, very appropriate. But ultimately, Manoah realized that it had been an appearance of God himself. And he became afraid. I mean, there's like some good theology here from Manoah and his wife. You know, they knew their Bibles. No one can see God and live, right? So you see his wheels turning. I saw God. I'm going to die. Manoah said to his wife in verse 22, "We are going to die because we have seen God." But his wife's response was just as insightful, if not more insightful, so perceptive of the grace of God. It's the kind of gospel reminder we all need. We have to remind each other of the character of God, the goodness of God, the steadfast love of God, the gospel of God, the good news of his love. And that he saves us by his grace. As Jerry Bridges used to say, he's now with Jesus face to face, but he used to say, you've got to preach the gospel to yourself every day. Because why? Because the devil's going to try to get you on the treadmill of good works every day, where you're trying to justify yourself and find satisfaction of soul in comparing yourself to other people. That's why we slander and all the rest, isn't it? But if we're trusting in the Lord, we might have some good things to say about people. Because we don't feel like we have to run them down in order to feel better about ourselves. So here she comes with the gospel. It is these types and shadows of gospel accounts. Who runs to get the disciples telling the Lord is risen? Women. Who runs to tell Manoah, hey, he's shown up again? His wife. So she says to her husband, after he says, we've seen God, we're going to die. She said, if the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering and shown us all these things so lovingly and patiently, or announced such things as these. If he wanted to kill us, he would have just killed us. He wouldn't have come to us and done these gracious things. He wouldn't have accepted the burnt offering. Again, dear Christian, no condemnation for you because the burnt offering of God's Son has been accepted on your behalf. And so you can live in freedom and love and grace. She said, he has announced such things to us, this amazingly good news that we are going to have a son after we've been childless all these years, and that he is going, this son of ours, is going to be set apart as Israel's Savior. So don't forget, dear husband, yes, our God is a holy God, but he's also a loving God who has gone to great lengths to show his love to us. We need those reminders of our God's love for us. So, just as God had promised, she bore a son and called his name Samson. Samson is a name that comes from a Hebrew word that means sun, S-U-N. As in the star that's close to the earth and provides light by day. Manoah and his wife were people of faith. Perfect faith? No, but faith. Faith. So they named their child in honor of the Lord, who is, in the words of our call to worship from Psalm 84, a sun and shield, who bestows favor and honor, and who withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Samson would be like the sun rising up to deliver Israel. So in the first place, a Savior named Samson. In the second place, a Savior named Jesus, which means something like the Lord saves. You shall call his name Jesus, said the angel, because he will save his people from their sins. Not just a temporal bondage, but an eternal bondage. Save them from their sins. As we will see in weeks to come, Lord willing, Samson was not only a savior for Israel, he was an Israelite in need of a savior. He was not perfect, far from it. And thus he pointed forward to Jesus by way of contrast. He showed by his failures that even the strongest of Israel's saviors, and he was the strongest, but even the strongest of Israel's saviors could not save Israel in the most important way they needed saving. But in this chapter, we see a number of signposts pointing to Jesus by way of comparison. Not so much way of contrast, but by way of comparison or likeness to Jesus. Just to name a few, just as the angel of the Lord announced the birth of Samson to his childless mother, who was set apart in a special way. You know, she had to follow Nazarite prohibitions there. She was set apart and favored in a special way. So the angel Gabriel announced the birth of Jesus to the Virgin Mary. So in other words, you see miraculous things happening in the Old Testament. Aged, barren people. Certainly in the case of Sarah, beyond the childbearing years, miraculously giving birth to a child. You see it later with Zechariah and Elizabeth, don't you? In this same way. But then those are warm-up miracles. They're warm-up miracles, preparing you for the miracle of miracles, the virgin birth. Christ would come down from heaven and be conceived by the Holy Spirit of, that is, of her substance, of the Virgin Mary and made man. So the angel of the Lord announced that. Ultimately, think about it. Jesus is announcing this warm-up miracle. The angel of the Lord, God himself, what historically Christian theologians have understood to be the pre-incarnate Christ, announcing the warm-up miracle. The miracle warming the world up for the coming of the Christ. Also, just as Samson was to be set apart to save Israel, so Jesus was set apart to be Israel and the world's ultimate Savior. And just as Manoah and his wife believed the angel, so Mary and Joseph believed the angel's report to them, acted accordingly, and were blessed because of it. Just as Samson grew and the Lord blessed him, so Jesus grew. You notice how Luke uses the language of Judges 13 and other places to describe both John the Baptist, you may remember, as well as Jesus. As Samson grew and the Lord blessed him, so Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Just as the Spirit began to stir Samson to do what God had called him to do to save Israel, he's an anointed Savior. So the Spirit anointed and led Christ to fulfill all that the Father had given him to do for us and our salvation. And just as Samson was given the name Sun, S-U-N, so Jesus proved to be the brighter sun. The one whose face shone like the sun on the Mount of Transfiguration. The one who is the light of the world. the one who will be the light. He will be the light in the new heavens and new earth. So bright will be his light. So unmitigated his glory then, inexplicably to us now, he will be the light in the new heavens and the new earth, illuminating all things such that there will be no need for lamp or the light of the sun, all those things that have been pointing to him as the great and enduring light. Whereas Samson's sunlight dimmed, Christ's light shines forever. Whereas Samson's light fell, Christ is the Son of Righteousness, from Malachi 4:2, risen with healing in his wings. Risen and alive, never to die again. So let us put our trust in no lesser saviors. That's kind of always a temptation. Put no confidence in princes, nor for help on man depend. He shall die, to dust returning, and his purposes shall end. Happy is the man that chooses Israel's God to be his aid. He is blessed whose hope of blessing on the Lord his God is stayed. Don't put your confidence in any other Savior. Let us trust and glory and rejoice only in Jesus, our Savior and King. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.